Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Love and Relationships Podcast, a hotline style show where people call in with questions about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage, and mental and emotional health. I'm Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid, unscripted conversations where I answer your questions in short, bite-sized, practical answers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor, relationship expert, and author of 6 books. I also run the popular relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it by voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or submit it on my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. So we're doing something a little different over the next few weeks called the Ask a Counselor series. As you know, I recently started the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, a team of Christian counselors who are offering one-on-one online sessions to meet with you and help you work through any personal or relationship issue you might be facing. It's an amazing team of counselors that I get the privilege of leading, and I wanted you to get to know them the way that I've been getting to know them. I've asked the counselors on my team to come and join me on the podcast over the next few weeks to help me answer your questions for this Ask the Counselor series, and I can't wait for you to get to know them. To book a session with one of our counselors, go to DeborahFalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing today. Today's question comes from Nicole from Montana. I've been struggling with my self-worth and identity. I know I carry a lot of negative beliefs about myself from some of the experiences I've been through in childhood. How do I begin to practically shift my beliefs about myself? Today, I'm so thrilled to have Lorinda from the Deborah Falada Counselors Network joining us today to answer this really important question about identity, and one that I believe most of us at some point in our lives struggle with. Really believing and understanding who we are, knowing our identity, and not allowing the negative beliefs to taint some of those things that we believe about ourselves. So, Lorinda, first of all, I'm so glad you're here. And I know that this is a subject that's close to your heart and something that you're really passionate about. So tell us a little bit about you, the kind of clients you work with at the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, and why this is a subject that you have such a heart for.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's great to be back with you talking about such a topic that I think impacts most everyone at some point in their life, and especially today in our culture. It seems to be a pretty hot topic. I'm a licensed professional counselor. I have a private practice and also work with you on your wonderful network. I have a heart for people. So I just love to work with people. In general, some of the clients that I see most often tend to deal with things such as anxiety, depression, relational conflict. I see a lot of couples. I see a lot of ministry leaders, which is dear to my heart as a person who was in ministry and grew up in ministry. And this topic in particular seems to be one that I find in most every session, and it impacts relationships. It impacts how we see ourselves. So it's dear to my heart. It's a topic that I struggled with earlier in my life, in my young adulthood, and spent my time working on this very thing. And I can say that it has been such a blessing to really get to this deeper healing in my own life. When I was younger, working through some of those messages from the past, and even the present, and how to challenge them.
What's interesting about the subject of self-worth, identity, value, I think the average Christian hears this and might say, well, I don't really struggle with that. I know who I am in Christ. God loves me. But when you dig a little bit deeper, we all carry false identity at some point in some way, whether or not we recognize it. And it impacts so much of how we do life, because what you believe becomes your thought processes. And then your thoughts become how you feel, which then impact what you do. Mm-hmm. And so our identity is where it begins. It's everything is rooted in what we believe about ourselves. And I always remind clients that, you know, you are like a blank slate. In fact, when we're born into the world, John Locke, one of the founding fathers of psychology, said that when we're born into the world, we're born as a tabula rasa, which means blank slate in Latin. And I think of this white dry erase board, this big white dry erase board, and there's nothing on it as you're born into the world. But then as you go through life, all these different experiences, different relationships start to put words on your blank slate, because you don't know any better until people start to speak into your life, telling you who they think you are.
Right.
And some of those words are great. Mm-hmm. But some of them are not so great. So which ones do you believe? And the words that get put on us become the words that we believe, and then they become the words that we live out of. And we don't even realize it's happening. Sometimes it's so subtle. So I appreciate this question from Nicole, because she at least acknowledges, I know I carry negative beliefs, and I know that some of them come from childhood. But then what do I do with that? So as you're thinking kind of this blank slate, Lorinda, where do you think some of these words, where do you think some of this identity, where do you think some of this false identity comes from?
Yeah. Well, something you said that really stood out to me is, you know, you were referring to when we're born is with this blank slate. And if you think of a baby, you know, they look to their caretaker, you know, eye to eye, they're looking for affirmation, for validation. But then there's this point in our life where they begin to shift to challenge and to question themselves, who am I? And it's where you're not looking so much at other people, but you've got all these messages historically that are already present. I see a lot of this in, I would say, in their early to mid 20s. With a lot of my college students and even young adults that come into my office, and they're like, Lorinda, I don't know who I am. And then I question, well, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
And so where God really has laid on my heart a lot lately is, and I was even surprised that he took me to these scriptures, but in Matthew 16:13-19, this is where Jesus is asking the disciples, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
And what's so interesting to me, and if it's okay, I just would like to read this real quickly. In verse 13, it starts, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? There he's asking his disciples, what's culture saying about me? Who are they saying that I am? I think there, for me personally, I think he was trying to draw out of them, what are you hearing? Mm-hmm. What are you listening to? What are you absorbing as who I am from those people in your culture, in your society? And then they replied, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus says, what about you? So he makes it personal there. Who do you say that I am? And to me, I kind of like to think that verse is where he's going beyond culture, because He knows that we're going to hear messages about him that are not true. He wants to know what we think personally about who he is. So he's moving beyond other people's voices. Who do you say that I am? And then Simon Peter answers, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And this is what, to me, stands out about this verse in particular. I think in some ways, Jesus was affirming that culture is going to talk. People are going to give us messages of what to believe about ourselves, about him. And that these things could come through someone who has taught us, or maybe our own emotions about what we are saying to ourselves. But this is where it really stood out to me, is where we have to challenge the truth, because the truth of who Jesus is and tells us the truth of who we are. Mm. And I think Jesus was really trying to pull this out in them. Like, when you know who I am, you know who you are. And yeah. So it starts like an anchor in their life. So it shifts from childhood into this adulthood of, if I know Jesus in a very deep and personal way, and I know he is the truth, he is the life, then that's how I know who I am.
Yeah.
And I think, though, if we find ourselves looking at any other thing to define who we are, then we end up very disillusioned and very disappointed.
Yeah, it's true. And it happens so subtly.
Yeah.
You know,
very quietly. It seeps in.
Yeah, that's why we have to be paying so much attention and be so aware of the internal dialogue. Like, who do you say I am? Who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. Who do people say you are? What do I say? Who am I? Like, there's some questions that we have to ask in order to really identify who we are. And I do believe it's questions we have to ask on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Who am I today?
Process. Yeah.
What do I feel about myself today? What do I believe about myself today? Which truth am I living out of? And I always say, are you living out of your trauma, or are you living out of God's truth? Because so many times our trauma history tends to start identifying and defining who we are based on those little things that we go through. I'm not good enough. Something is wrong with me. Something bad is going to happen. I'm not capable of doing this. I'm not adequate. I'm better than everyone else, you know, for good and for bad. We have identity issues. And so what is it that we're believing? What is that internal dialogue? What are some places that you think, you mentioned childhood, you mentioned culture. What are some things we need to be aware of that may be speaking into our identity if we're not careful?
Yeah. Well, I kind of break it down into three categories. And I like to start with my clients and affirming them in the sense of, and going back to the scriptures, that Jesus didn't need them to answer that question for him because he knew who he was. He needed them to answer it for themselves.
Yeah.
Because he knew they would be challenged in this area. And he knew we would be challenged. And so where I see in the kind of the three main categories of where identity is developed, obviously in childhood. And this, in some ways, in the domain, has to deal with our past, our family of origin, maybe messages that were spoken over us, whether it be from parents, siblings, friends, maybe people we dated in our teen years, coaches, teachers, and we carry those. And I get from a lot of my clients things such as, well, I'm a people pleaser, or I'm a doer. And I often say to them, well, that was created from somewhere.
Right.
Who created that in you?
Right.
And so we begin to challenge that. And one thing I love to do, and I think this is where you and I have a very, very deep commonality here is I love to do the timeline of events with my clients because it allows them to see the things that maybe they can't see with their own eye, maybe more of a feeling that they're experiencing. But when we begin to see those themes and those patterns of their history, how those develop mindsets that they are presently still living out of. And a lot of them is about who they are.
Right.
And how it's inhibiting them from maybe functioning in healthy relationships.
Yeah. One thing that I always have my clients do is answer this question. What is the one lie? If you had to narrow it down to one lie that is constantly coming up to keep you stuck, that's causing conflict, that's causing heartache, that's causing you to struggle. What is that lie? You know, if the enemy could take you down with one lie, what would it be? And usually we have one that stands out among the rest. You know, I think of, for me, it's something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
And
yeah, for a long time, it was, I don't know that I'm quite enough.
In my life, it causes overcaution. Mm-hmm. It causes anxiety, right? I'm trying to make sure everything is safe and secure all around me so that nothing bad happens. So we could say, oh, you're just a cautious person. You just have a cautious personality. Okay. A lot of times we put that personality stuff. Oh, that's just my personality. Like you said a minute ago, some people just say, oh, I'm just a people pleaser, or I'm just this, or I'm just that. I just get angry easily. I'm just shy. Mm-hmm. What created that in you? What caused that to happen? You were born a blank slate.
Right.
And so there's a lot of why you are the way you are that comes from the labels that you carry, the things that you've been told that then impact your personality, that then impact your beliefs, that then impact how you feel, that then impact how you live your life. Right. And so we don't even realize how much of that is rooted in identity, because oftentimes we say it's just personality.
Yeah. Yeah. And we see, and, you know, with me working with a lot of couples, can see how they relate to one another out of these historical themes and patterns of these labels they have put on themselves.
Yeah.
How it impacts relationships, because it makes keep you from engaging on certain levels because you think you're not enough or you're worried about the what ifs. And it can create the stress and the anxiety in the relationship. And so I think for them to identify, to be able to become more aware of where it began in their life and how that they can take that and then allow God's truth to trump that.
Yeah.
Them beginning to walk in the knowing of who they truly are. There's so much confidence in that. And it's a positive confidence. It's a healthy confidence. It's not a pride at all. It's that knowing of this is who I am. And this is who God created me to be. Max Lucado has this one phrase that I love that he said, only in seeking his maker does a man truly become a man. For in seeing his creator, man catches a glimpse of what he was intended to be.
Mm.
And that's where the reflection of us seeing ourselves in Christ, promoting that healthy confidence that he so desperately wants us to experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just for us. He wants us to experience that.
If you think about all the different relationships in our lives, like mirrors, you know, oftentimes they're reflecting to us something. But unfortunately, the mirrors that we look to of this world, even in relationships, aren't always accurate because they're reflecting something based on their struggles and their insecurities and their own false identity. And so you're it's like going into that fun maze where there's all these mirrors and they show you all these different things, but which one's accurate? Is it that one? Is it this one? Is it my mom? Is it my cousins? Is it my ex-boyfriend? Is it the commercials on TV? Like, which one is accurate? And making sure that we're constantly aligning ourselves with who Jesus is and what he says about us is a huge part of this process. Okay, but practically, what does that look like? So we talked about identifying the lie, identifying the thing that trips you up the most. If you could narrow that down, what would it be? And then we talked about the importance of a timeline. One of my favorite things about having a session with someone from the Debra Flata Counselors Network is that you're going to do a timeline. Yeah. You're going to map out the developmental impact, the history, the things where this lie began to develop and then where this lie got affirmed over different seasons of your life. Because that's how you start thinking that it's truth. It gets affirmed in unhealthy ways time and time and time and time again. So there's usually a pattern throughout your timeline. And so working with one of our team to help you begin to unpack and make connections. Wait, could that have been part of where it was created or affirmed? And sometimes you need somebody to have a second set of eyes to kind of help you see, wait a second, that's not typical. Wait a second, could that have been an area where you started believing that lie and having somebody help you sort through some of those things is important. And then...
yeah, and challenge it with truth. You know, have you taken the time to challenge exactly what you're feeling? Just because you feel it doesn't mean that it's true.
Yeah.
You know, and so like what you just said was the two other categories that I typically take them through when we're dealing with identity. It's culturally and then the emotional / relational category. Because culturally, when you talked about reaffirming, let's talk about social media for a little bit. I mean, you know, that could affirm messages that you picked up in your childhood.
Right.
Maybe somebody said something about your physical appearance or maybe your personality, and then you're on social media and someone doesn't like your post, or maybe they make a comment on your post that reaffirmed that message. And that goes into, you know, this whole culture aspect of, well, what am I getting from social media? What am I getting from news? What am I getting from fads and trends? Maybe my accomplishments in life. What are some of the things that I'm connecting my identity to that could be unhealthy sources? And then we go into the emotional relational realm. I mean, a lot of us could say, if we look back over our relationships in history, whether it be family, whether it be dating, or even spouses,
right?
Like there were messages that were said and spoken, good and not so good.
Right.
Which ones did you hold on to? Which ones do you see yourself out of? Which ones do you continue to carry every day? And because they said it, number one, doesn't mean that it's true. And because you feel it, number two, doesn't mean that it's true either. So what are you doing to challenge it on a daily basis? How are you bringing it back to truth?
I don't think we even realize how much of our identity we place in certain things until they rupture.
Right.
Until you lose that job.
Yeah.
Until you fail in that endeavor. Until your marriage falls apart. Until your relationship with your children isn't what you expected. All of a sudden then, when things are ruptured, it's like you realize how much of your identity was actually in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And so sometimes a rupture can actually be our saving grace, because it causes us to look at this thing that we've been placing our identity in and make sure that we are placing our identity in something that's unchanging, unshifting, constant. And it, again, it's the truth of scripture. It's the truth of who God says we are. And I know that sounds so cliche, like just believe God's truth. But this is like life or death.
Yeah.
How we think and what we believe is life or death. When I look at the truths in scripture of who I am, this isn't just some cutesy clip art that I put on a wall to make myself feel good. What I think and believe is literally life or death, because it affects so much of my day-to-day life.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what you believe is what you become. So it's, if I'm walking around with tainted messages, untrue messages that were spoken over me by another human, but not taking it back to the one who created me, what does he say about me? Who does he say that I am? And I think that's where we put a lot of energy into the thoughts and opinions of other people. There's something I say in my office every single day, and that is, when you put more authority in the thought and an opinion of another person, you have allowed them to identify who you are. It's okay for you to care about what other people think of you or maybe how they feel about you. But when it becomes an issue is when you allow what they think or feel about you to become how you see you.
Yeah.
That's where God wants to change that. That's where he says, wait a minute, I am the only one that gets to say who you are.
Yeah.
And taking it back to that. What I like to do, I like acronyms just because it helps stand in my mind. Like I can remember it easier for me. And so one, I've got like two acronyms. I use the word anchor. And one is more of a spiritual approach and one's more of a clinical approach. But the spiritual approach for today, talking about what we're kind of leaning in more from a spiritual aspect, but combining the clinical, is affirming narratives Christ has ordained as reliable and real. And if I have to ask myself the question, Lorinda, where are you pulling this information from? Where is this narrative that you're playing in your mind? Is this one that's reliable and real? Is this one that Jesus has created for you? Or maybe it was one that was created historically.
Yeah.
Maybe it was one that was created culturally or relationally.
Yeah.
And so the other acronym would be acknowledging narratives created historically or relationally and culturally. So which one are you walking in, Lorinda? What anchor are you holding on to?
Okay, go through those again. So
yeah.
Acknowledging.
So the more clinical kind of the approach is acknowledging narratives.
A-N.
Created.
C.
Historically.
H.
Or relationally and culturally.
Got it. I like that. And then what's the one for the more faith focused?
Affirming narratives Christ has ordained as reliable and real.
I love that. That's really good. Anchor. Yeah. What are you affirming? What are you acknowledging? What narratives are you repeating on a daily basis? One activity I'll have clients do is take 24 hours and just write down all the negative beliefs and narratives that pop into their head. Take a note on your phone or a piece of paper and be in tune. What are the negative things that are coming into my mind on a daily basis? When you write them all down, usually you'll find some sort of a pattern, some sort of a theme, something that they have in common. Maybe it's inadequacy, fear of failure, fear of rejection. Maybe it's a belief that you're not good enough, that you're not smart enough, that people don't really like you. Whatever it is, look for the themes because most likely that's where your greatest struggle is going to be found. And then, like you said, contrasting it to, has Christ affirmed this? You know, what is the real narrative and how do I begin shifting my beliefs? Any practical suggestions for how we can start shifting our beliefs?
One thing that I like to do is do what you just mentioned, is begin to write them down. There's three steps I like to really bring attention to with my clients is connecting through the word and prayer. Start your day. Simple approach. I call it the 5-5-5, 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in the word, and 5 minutes in worship. This is to begin your day grounding yourself in the truth, because we all know that all day long, we're going to hear messages from other people. We're going to hear messages from culture. So this is a good way to ground yourself. If we want to go back to anchoring, we want to anchor ourselves in the truth. Take time away from social media. If you find yourself just sitting in this narrative that's very, let's say, condemning.
Yeah.
Or negative, it may be that you need to step away from some things that are in some ways affirming that message to you. So take some time away from whether it be social media, maybe TV, the things that you're taking. We've got to be careful what we're listening to and what we're watching.
Right. The input
can affirm negative things. So the input from others too. One thing I like to do for myself personally, I like to be in the Word. I like to turn on worship music, but I like podcasts, and I'm not just saying that because I'm with you today. I will Google maybe some thought patterns I'm struggling with. I have a list of trusted people that I like to listen to. I don't listen to just anyone. And these people I've listened to for years. And I'll Google probably I might be struggling with anxiety that day or just the fear of failure. And I'll pull up a message by them. And as I'm listening, I'm taking notes. So it's a way of reaffirming truth to myself. So that's kind of one area. I always will recommend get a good counselor. Get someone that is non-biased, one that you can trust that's truth-based, that can speak that truth into your life and challenge those negative opinions or thoughts about yourself that will lead you back on the road of finding who you really are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the last one is community. I just believe that God didn't mean for us to do this alone, and our community is important. So who's in your circle? You want to find people that you can trust, that are dependable, reliable sources of truth and encouragement in your life, that can support you, that can uphold you when you feel weak.
Yeah.
That you can have fun with. So the community is very important too. So kind of the connection through word and prayer, counseling, and community. So I would say the three C's right there. Important.
And people that are pointing you back to God's truth, not just our truth.
Right.
I always say our truth is tainted by trauma and false beliefs and negative experiences and wounds. Our truth is not reliable. And that's why we constantly have to be going back to God's truth. And so look through God's word and find truths that counteract the false narratives and cling to those, write them on pieces of paper, put them on sticky notes all over your home. The more you think about God's truth, the more it dwells in your mind, the more it begins to shape your brain. Your brain is neuroplastic. Mm-hmm. It takes time, but eventually telling yourself the truth overrides the things that are untrue. And slowly you start believing those things. Slowly the labels that have been placed on you fade. And the new labels, the true labels from God's word begin to take over and impacting what you believe and feel and how you act and how you live your life. So again, this isn't just positive affirmations. This is literally life or death. Change your thoughts and beliefs and you will change your life. This is an active process, something that you have to face and adjust every single day. But I really do believe that this is where it begins, is kind of confronting some of those things and then begin to replace them with truth. You guys, if you're listening today and you're starting to feel convicted, like, wow, I probably have a few things that come up of negative thinking throughout the day, of negative beliefs about myself, of my identity that's really being challenged by the things of this world, by social media, by my relationships, by my past history, by my trauma, and you're starting to see it impact your life, this is the time to do the work. This is the time to dig a little deeper and begin to uproot some of those lies, some of those false narratives. And not just uproot them, but replace them with truth. I highly recommend Lorinda. If you're thinking, you know what, where can I find somebody to work with? Lorinda can be your guide. She can help you in this process of becoming healthy, help you unpack some of the things from your past, help you identify where the narratives might have started. Where was that created? And how can we even begin healing some of those broken places in the past? Where can we start restoring that identity? And not only is she going to help you practically, but she's going to help point you to the truth of God's word. So book a session with Lorinda. Don't wait. Do it today, right now, whether you're a couple struggling or an individual who's in need of some guidance and help and encouragement, book a session with Lorinda by going to DeborahFilleta.com/Lorinda, LARINDA, DeborahFilleta.com/Lorinda. She can see you as soon as next week. So find us time. You'll see her schedule there. You can find a time that works for you and book an online session with her. You're not going to regret it. This is the year for healing. This is the year to take the next level. This is the year to confront some of those narratives that have been on hibernate. You're living out of them, but you don't even realize because it's just autopilot. It's so much easier to choose what's familiar in our beliefs over what's healthy. But this is the year to do the work and confront some of those things and begin to literally change your life. Lorinda, thank you so much for being here today, for being a part of this. I know that you have such a heart for helping people heal. So I would love if you could take a minute just to pray for those listening. I know that you wanted to do that. And we can just send them off with some encouragement and ask the Lord to help us begin the process of healing.
Thank you. Father God, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for every person that is listening to this podcast. God, I pray today that they can feel seen and heard and understood and they feel a sense of hope. Lord, I pray that you awaken their hearts and their minds to the truth of who you have created them to be. I pray that messages from culture, opinions of others be quieted and that your truth of who they are speak louder. Thank you that you care about every detail. Thank you that it's important to your heart, God, that we walk in humility and in confidence in who we are in you, despite all other thoughts, feelings, or opinions. God, thank you for being our constant. Thank you for being our truth. And I pray today is a new day of hope for those that are listening. Awaken hearts and minds to you. You and you alone are the truth. And we are so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lorinda, for your heart. And thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Filleta Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at DeborahFilleta.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. So much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you love what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about those as well as hundreds of articles and courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com or deborahfilleta.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Filleta and tell me your story. If you have a question for me, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships and we'll try to get it answered on the show. I'm Deborah Filleta, and it was so great being together today, and I can't wait to be with you again next week. See you later.